We've been saying for a few weeks, as we focus on Thanksgiving, that the basis for our giving thanks to God is our salvation. So it's right that we sing and that we say, Jesus, thank you, because it's because of him that we have thankful hearts. Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He rose from the grave to put the seal on Satan, death, and sin's defeat. He ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us and to intercede to the Father on our behalf. And he sent his Holy Spirit into the world to indwell and empower believers to live for and glorify God. And we know that he's coming again soon. He's coming soon, and we look forward with great anticipation to that day when we will be with him, and we will participate in the greatest feast that has ever been as we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and enjoy this feast with our Savior. Oh, so we say, yes, Jesus, we thank you for your great salvation. Would you just pray with me as we come to the Word of God? Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. He is the reason that we are here. He is the reason that we gather. You have redeemed us through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we give all praise and honor and glory to you and to the Son. Oh, may your Spirit empower us daily to live for Jesus. And may we have hearts and attitudes of thanksgiving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned just a few weeks ago that this year's Thanksgiving celebration marks the 400th anniversary for our country of this celebration of Thanksgiving. It's pretty phenomenal to think of that. 400 years of giving thanks to God in this great nation. And I just want to rehearse a little bit of that history just to refresh our memories so that we might be thankful for this country that God has given us. The Mayflower, carrying 102 pilgrims, landed originally just north of the Hudson River in Massachusetts, and then they made their way down to what is now known as Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts. After this harrowing 66-day journey across the Atlantic. Because they didn't have any houses built yet, this was end of September, beginning of October, they stayed in the Mayflower on board the ship for that first bitter northeast winter. Sadly, only about half of them survived the winter. But by God's grace, when they moved ashore to start building their houses in March of 1621, Squanto of the Pawtuxet tribe met them. And he taught the malnourished colonists how to cultivate corn, how to extract sap from the maple trees, how to catch fish in the rivers, and how to avoid the poisonous plants that would harm them. And so in November of 1621, the governor, William Bradford, called for a celebration, a feast, as they celebrated their first successful corn harvest. They invited their new friends and allies with the Wampanoag tribe and Chief Massasoit. And here is the first-hand account from the colonist Edward Winslow. Listen to what he writes. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men fowling, that so we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruits of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as with a little help beside served the company almost a week, at which time amongst other recreations we exercised arms. That's not these kind of arms. That's these kind of arms. Okay. Many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor, and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful account of the goodness of God. In spite of all that they had lost, all that they had been through, they thanked God for his goodness and his plenty. 242 years later, President Abraham Lincoln, at the height of the Civil War, made a proclamation for a National Day of Thanksgiving, recognizing God's mercy upon our country. He wrote regarding the innumerable blessings that he could account for in the midst of the conflict. And this is what he said: "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." Oh, I believe that's so true still today. That in the midst of what we are suffering because of our sins, because of God's anger against us, yet he has remembered mercy. And so we have much to give thanks for. The primary way that we celebrate this American Day of Thanksgiving is in keeping with that original celebration by feasting, by gathering friends and family together and having a great feast. Feasting is indeed a means of giving thanks to God. But I want to mention some other ways of giving thanks to God. There's an outline there in your bulletin, and I just want to briefly mention 12 ways that we give thanks to God. The first is certainly what we've just mentioned, feasting. Feasting is an appropriate way of giving thanks to God. I want you to think of this feast. Maybe you haven't thought of this before. In John 6:11, it says, "Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted." So at this feast, on the hillsides of Israel here, there were at least 5,000 men, and then women and children on top of that, upwards of 20,000 people. A huge feast. And at first, they didn't have much. They had a few loaves, a few fish, and Jesus multiplied that to feed 20,000 people until they had as much as they wanted. What a feast. What a celebration. So much of a celebration that Jesus had to hide because they wanted to make him king. That's how impactful that feast was. So that's the first way that we give thanks to God, is by feasting. I'm not going to go there, but I just want to mention the scripture that I've already mentioned. Revelation 19:6-9 speaks of the greatest feast of all feasts, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we will be with all the saints that have gone before us, the loved ones that we are missing so dearly that have gone before us, and most of all, our Savior Jesus Christ. What a day that will be. A second way that we give thanks to God is what we are doing right now. Corporate worship. Coming together to worship God. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates," that's the city of Jerusalem, "with thanksgiving, and his courts," that's the temple, "with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." Week after week, we get to gather as believers. We get to enter these courts, so to speak, so that we can give thanks and praise to God. We gather to remember what he has done for us, our risen Savior, and to praise him each and every week. A third way that we give thanks to God is through evangelism and missions. The gospel going forth is an amazing means of giving thanks to God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. God uses us. What an amazing privilege. We give thanks to God by being the aroma of Christ wherever we go, sharing Christ with others in word and in deed. So the third is evangelism and missions. Fourth, we give thanks to God by honoring God. And I'm not going to go there to show you this scripture, but I'm just going to give it to you to look up on your own. Romans 1, 18 through 21 actually speaks of the opposite of that. Those who do not honor God and are not giving thanks to God. And I'll let you look at that on your own. A fifth way that we give thanks to God is with wholesome talk, wholesome speech, using our tongues and our mouths in a right way that honors God. I mentioned this last week in reference to the third command, to not take the Lord's name in vain. And we expanded that to speak of cursing in general, and even beyond that, to lives that speak against God by our unfit lives for what He has done for us. But our words speak volumes. Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. Let that ring in your ears when you go to a branding. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. May it be that people know us for words of thanksgiving, wholesome words, words that glorify God. Number six, a sixth way of giving thanks to God is by obedience, living for Christ. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Our lives of obedience, a life that is pleasing to Christ, is an amazing means of giving thanks to Him for what He has done for us. A seventh way that we give thanks to God is through the physical giving of our offerings, our tithes and offerings, which you so faithfully do. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 12. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. Do you see how this works? God is our provider. He provides for us abundantly. And so we give to others. He uses us as a means to give to others. I'll just make a little advertisement for the Travelers Fund. This is an amazing opportunity to give to the needs of others. Just last night, I had a call for someone who is stranded here. I had the opportunity to go and to share Christ with them and to put them up in the hotel for the evening. What a wonderful ministry that our community has. And so this is a way for us to give thanks to God for what He has done, how He has provided in our lives, and then to spread that goodness to others. An eighth way that we give thanks to God is by unity in the body of Christ, by preserving this spirit of unity. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers. To preserve this unity, to say, I'm going to work hard to love my brothers and sisters. We're not always all so lovable, are we? Sometimes we rub people the wrong way. Sometimes we say things that maybe, ooh, I wish I could take that back. But to preserve the unity and the bond of peace is a means of giving thanks to God. A ninth way is through prayer, through offering our prayers to God. Philippians 4:6, Do not be anxious about anything. Oh, how we need to hear that over and over again today, don't we? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I hope and I pray that our gathering together on Sunday morning is not the only time that you are praying throughout the week. May it be a habit of ours as believers that we are people of prayer, because that is a means of giving Him thanks. It recognizes that, God, we need You. We recognize that You are the sovereign one who's in control of all things, and we give You thanks by our dependence, our expression of dependence upon You. A tenth way is what we're going to give you an opportunity to do in just a few minutes here. And so you can be thinking, because I don't want long, awkward pauses, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Psalm 111:1, public thanksgiving. Giving your thanks right here, right now. Listen to this. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright, in the congregation. That is a means of praising God when we're together, of standing up and saying, this is what God has done in my life. This is how God has provided for me. This is a verse that God has given to me that has really spoken to me this year. To give Him thanks and praise in the congregation. An 11th way that we are also doing this morning is by singing. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. You don't even have to sing pretty. Just can be a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, He's worthy of us lifting our voices in song to praise Him and to thank Him. And then number 12, this singing that we do, part of giving Him thanks is singing with instruments. Do you realize that? Listen to 2 Chronicles 5, 12 through 13. All the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, their sons and kinsmen, arrayed in fine linen with cymbals. Thank you, Casey. With cymbals, harps, we need a harp, lyres, stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. And it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, they said, He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. To sing Him, to make loud, joyful noises to Him with cymbals, with trumpets. We didn't quite get the trumpets, but we got the flute this morning. We're getting there, right? This opportunity to praise God with our voices, with instruments, with our lives. This is a heart of thanksgiving. To give Him thanks with our whole being, not just with our lips. Anybody can hypocritically say thank you to someone else or to God. But when we thank Him from the heart, it is with the whole of our being, our lives. And so now I'm going to give you the opportunity to do this. For you to either sit or stand wherever you are and just to thank God for what He has done in your life. And it would be a pastor's time of crying if after 3 Sundays of speaking on Thanksgiving, it was crickets. So please don't do that. So I want to start by telling you what I am thankful for. It is family, and I know that's a popular one to say this time of year, but I want to mention that in 2 ways. One is the family of God. So thankful for this local fellowship, for your love for us, for the mutual love that we share, for you sharpening me, for us growing together in Christ. I really believe in coming days that it is going to be more and more important for us to recognize how much we depend upon each other as the body of Christ. As the world gets more and more crazy, we are going to be dependent on one another. And so I want to continue to cultivate this love that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. But secondly, for my family, for my wife and my kids, our son-in-law, our daughter-in-law, 3 grandchildren, what a blessing. Each one of them are, we are thrilled. Our hearts are filled to overflowing, and our house will be overflowing this week because they're all coming. And so we're excited to have them all. So that's what I'm thankful for. How about you?